Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We guns, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearty's yo ho. We kidnap and drive each and don't give a hoot. Drink up, me hearty's yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Welcome to the Pirate Monk Podcast. They are live from Franklin, Tennessee. I am not in Franklin, Tennessee. This is your co-host, Aaron Porter, with the extra snarky Nate Larkin and the giggling engineer Mondo. We also have a special guest who's going to remain nameless, but he's super special and will be coming on later, although he will interject things inappropriately from time to time. We're glad that you're here with us. And we're going to start with the fact that Nate has not been around for a couple weeks. I mean, Mondo and I show up where we're supposed to be. Nate's not here. We cancel. We get a text. I'm in a hot tub. But why don't you explain all of that,
Nate? Well, I got to tell you, it's the high life, Aaron. Once you get into the jet set like I am, there's not much can be done about it. No, actually, I've been on a road trip with my wife for the last couple of weeks. Road trip because Allie prefers driving to flying because with driving there are no baggage restrictions. So basically, I've spent the last 2 weeks hauling suitcases. We went to New Jersey so she could have a reunion with her girlfriends. And she had to come armed with, 50 changes of clothes, 75 pairs of shoes. She didn't know what they might wear. You know what I mean? Mm. But we had a great time in New Jersey with her childhood friends, high school friends. Thankfully, one of them brought a husband that I could relate to. Took a day trip to Atlantic City. That was thrilling.
Yeah.
It took me
paying for the trip right there, right?
Took me about an hour to lose my $20, and then I was done, pal.
There you
done.
Go. I hear you.
This is a part of your Pentecostal recovery, right? From your legalistic Pentecostal background, you got to lose at least $20 gambling?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And then smoke a cigar.
And curse your whole way out of the casino. Right. No. I got it.
While listening to rock and roll. No, I didn't do any of that stuff. But from there, we headed south, met up with more of her girlfriends in Maryland and Virginia, and wound up in North Carolina, where I was the speaker this last weekend for the North Carolina Conference of the International Pentecostal Holiness Church.
Which this is an exciting group. I was excited because, a lot of my reference is to your background, and that was some rough stuff, and this group has some pretty forward, bold thoughts on their own lives as the church,
They are an impressive group. I mean, here they are. They're the oldest Pentecostal denomination in the country. The denomination that gave birth to Oral Roberts before he went straight as a Methodist. They're a denomination that was dying a couple of decades ago, and they looked at themselves and went to prayer and decided that what was killing them was legalism. And so, as a denomination, they decided they just were not going to be legalistic anymore.
And they took the money from the offering and went to Atlantic City.
They've been going hard toward grace and toward honesty and authenticity, and just making tremendous strides. And they've been very gracious to me. This is the second time I've spoken for them. And just had a good time with the boys there in North Carolina. And from there, Allie and I went to Greensboro, where I met up with Ken Chester. He and Scott Vosberg and the boys there in Greensboro are preparing next weekend, just 4 days from now, for the North Carolina 48 Hours of Frankness.
48
Plans
hours.
Are coming together, yeah. And then Ken and I went to the Guilford County Correction Center. God ordained it beautifully that we showed up in the lobby of the jail just as the chaplain was walking out on his way home. And he went back in and made it possible, even though I didn't have ordination papers with me and even though we hadn't made an appointment. Chaplain Cook used his considerable influence and got us up to the third floor where I was able to visit through the glass on the telephones with Daniel Razum, our own Daniel, also known as Gary Sibley. You know, he's in a tough spot there. He's awaiting a hearing on the first charge. It'll come up September 27th. We're optimistic about that one. But here he is. He's spending his days in a cell designed for eight men, and there are 16 to 18 men in it at any given time.
Wow.
Guys sleeping on mattresses on the floor, on tables and under tables. Tight quarters. He started a Bible study there in the cell. He asked for some copies of Samson and the Pirate Monks, which Ken delivered to him. He's keeping his spirits up, but it is a challenging place to be.
Yeah.
So we need to continue to be in prayer for Daniel. Anyway, Allie and I also visited with Charlie and Ruth Jones of Peculiar People fame. They now do something called the Greensboro Grub. They've got a fundraiser coming up this next weekend. Looks like they're going to be able to buy that beautiful three-story hotel that they've been living in, and put a theater in there and a cafe, and they live on the second floor, and then they'll have a LaBrie-style dormitory on the second floor. That was exciting.
Wow.
We took our time home, stopped in Asheville, and then yesterday just had to get off I-40. It was a beautiful, gorgeous day, not a cloud in the sky. The Smoky Mountains were just dazzling, and it seemed a shame to fly through on the interstate. So we took the side roads and wound up in a little burg called Hot Springs, North Carolina.
And what's happening in Hot Springs?
Well, it turns out they have hot springs right there at the Hot Springs Resort and Spa.
And what happens
We're gonna stop you there before you mentally take any
you can
of your
rent.
Clothes off, Nate. Because really,
you,
that's
you
not
can,
a trigger, but
you can rent
I don't
a deluxe hot tub for $35 an hour.
Not the deluxe, but the deluxe.
It's deluxe for $35 an hour. Mineral water at a toasty 102 degrees there under the trees.
I hear you.
It was marvelous, marvelous.
All right.
Got home about midnight, and we're leaving again at noon today.
And where are you going today?
Well, we'll talk about that later, but okay. Yeah, we're headed off on the Sex and Skinny Tour.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Well, now, what about you? You're looking kind of bleary-eyed there, Aaron, as I'm watching you on the monitor. And you sounded a little froggy. Did you have a long day yesterday or what?
Beyond the normal fact that I have to get up 2 hours earlier than all of you to do this. and the fact that Sundays are a 17-hour day for me, and then you ask me to get up at this hour. But beyond all of that, which is only relevant to my own self-pity needs, the college freshmen have come back. We're in San Luis Obispo, where the University of Cal Poly resides, and the freshmen are back in town, and we put a lot of effort into the first weeks that they're here, because we've seen for too many years college sophomores come into church trying to recover from a lot of brokenness and shame, because that freshman year when they move into the dorms, they're away from home, and they just they go nuts for like 6 or 8 months. Mm-hmm. Which I mean, the dorm thing I don't get. You know, you corral all the people with the same insanity in a very small place. That's an odd choice.
Yeah.
I think they ought to like force some seniors who are completely shattered from their freshman years to like be in the dorms, so that way it adds some balance to the insanity. So we really care about how freshmen enter into this experience, because, you know, they don't really get what's out there for them and what it costs. So, yeah, we had our special time last night and a barbecue and our first service for them, and it was a good time.
Excellent. And you got the band back together, didn't you?
Yes, after 8 years of playing in isolation. Which is really fun for ministry purpose. We are back to having some fun and playing with a whole band. So this was our second time playing.
Wait a minute. This is a Christian band?
It is a Christian band.
You're having fun?
I felt a little bit of shame right there. That you just need to confess that. Yes, we are a Christian band. Yes, we do have fun. And, you know, I don't write happy music very easily.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of kind of church, let's take a look at ourselves music.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Also called kick the church in the balls music and
yeah.
then hold them afterwards.
Yeah.
So it is fun to have fun playing that kind of music because everybody kind of smiles and holds their crotches.
Yeah.
Which is really
the best way I can describe it.
If you're thinking about the theology of the church being the bride, that just paints a really...
This is horrible. This podcast is going so far off the rails. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think we should go back to like the Christian music thing because that was like the worst description. You really put in the shame of the whole Christian music
thing.
I'm
going crazy in casinos. You're kicking the church. It's awesome.
In the balls. Yeah, I think that part shouldn't be in there.
No, leave it in. Leave it in.
That'll be more confusing than anything else.
Prove to the world at large that we do not script the Pirate Monk.
Yeah.
And speaking of music, Mondo, in this little vacation time, you have been vacationing through work.
Yeah.
Which is, so tell us about that. What have you
been up to? Yeah, man, I've been working with Brian Haley, who is the drummer for Toby Mac. He has a new band called Superheroes. Actually, you might like this, kind of cool. Instead of superheroes like Superman,
uh-huh.
it's Super He Rose.
Oh.
So that's it's pretty cool, man. And we're working on their first two singles.
Is this hip-hop stuff?
No, it's actually more like a funk rock, urban funk rock kind of thing.
Really?
It's really in your face. It's really in your face. If you're a Toby fan,
uh-huh.
kind of progressive, you know, Christian music, you're definitely going to be into it.
Okay.
But there's a lot of singing. There's a little bit of rapping going on.
Uh-huh.
Just a lot of dynamic musically. So it's pretty cool. So the first single will be out November 1st, they said, but the first week of November. So
wow.
So I've been doing that. I've been working with my uncle as well, doing the Black Southern Gospel record. I've been doing that and some other film and TV things and a bunch of other, you know, random things that come up here and there. But it's been a good late summer, man, and looking forward to a good fall. So
Mondo Music Incorporated.
Yes.
Well, it is nice to have everybody back in the same spot here. Well, via technology and all that, but here we are, and we're going to take a break and collect our mental selves and come back for a fantastic next segment on the Pirate Monk Podcast.
There's no shame in living for real, even if your back's against the wall. He's a day, heathen is without sin. Let him cast the first stone, because my Lord has carried us on. And everybody say,
and we're back on the Pirate Monk Podcast. Well, Aaron, Mondo, it's been a couple of weeks since I've been able to attend a Samson meeting.
Mm.
And I'm going to leave town today before this week's meeting. So I got no news on Samson meetings. How about you, Aaron? You been getting together with the Pastor Pirates?
I have been in the upstairs of the Crooked Kilt Pub, our little secret location.
Fantastic.
And you just disclosed.
No longer
secret. This is no longer secret.
That's right. You're going to have to move it again.
He sighs with a heavy sigh. Yeah, we've been up there. And
what was your topic at the last meeting, man?
Well, we have not, thank you for asking that question, we have not had topics
for the last
3 weeks. It's been nice having a smaller group of 10 or so guys that, you know, have been doing this a lot of years. Sometimes we can get into some personal work, so after we spend time talking about our weeks and going around letting everyone check in, then if there's some personal stuff that needs to happen, it can, and the last few weeks, that's where it's gone. And it's been really great watching, you know, friends grapple with their identity, And, you know, getting our worth from external things, from friendships, from relationships, from work, and realizing how much work it is to root our identity in the gospel.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, we're a group of pastors who struggle with this. I mean, that's the irony. We preach about the identity being rooted in the gospel, and yet, as pastors, it's so easy to get our identities wrapped up in serving God and teaching other people about having their identity in the gospel.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's just a natural gravitational pull. So there's been some really good conversations about that, and it's been really fun to watch the group rally around an individual guy for mm-hmm. about half the meeting mm-hmm. and just support him and speak the gospel story into his life. So that's been our meetings for the last 2-3 weeks, and it's been really good.
It's got to be such a cool dynamic. I mean, I've experienced it myself when I've sat in your meetings. I love the fact that we got pastors from different churches in town walking together as brothers. How does that change the way you preach in your pulpit?
Man, I think it makes me a lot more bold in my brokenness because you just get used to speaking it with people that you respect.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's probably the biggest thing is it really chips away at that mask, and then you forget to wear it when you're preaching quite so often.
That's cool. Very cool.
That's the place we're most likely to wear our masks.
Yes.
You know, we take them off when we get home and yell at our kids.
Yeah.
That's how it works. So, but I think that's what's changing.
Good.
So you are leaving today on the Sex and Skinny Tour. We've talked about it a little bit. Our special guest, who is still going to remain unnamed, but he's awesome and just a powerhouse.
Mm. I can't say his name?
Nobody can say his name. He's still a secret.
Right. Okay.
We'll bring him up next segment.
Yeah.
We're keeping him quiet in the background.
Okay. All right.
We'll play a song.
Yeah,
we'll definitely play his songs.
All right.
Yes.
So it'll be like a guessing game. Just do a couple bars of the song and see if they can guess it.
Okay.
So you're leaving with him.
Yes.
The unnamed one today. Where are you going?
With the inimitable Constance Rhodes.
Okay.
That's right. So the three of you.
She's bringing a girl, Paige, who I haven't met yet. So there'll be four of us. Headed off for the first leg of the Sex and Skinny Tour. We're driving into the wilds of Indiana, where we'll be doing 2 days at Anderson University and 2 days at Indiana Wesleyan University, talking about the most secret and shameful struggles that men and women have. But what's going to be different about this is that Constance and I will be talking. She'll be talking about obsession with weight and body image, which is the most common struggle for women and is a lot of guys struggle with as well. And I'll be talking about sexual obsession, which is very common with guys, the most common struggle for guys, but which a number of women struggle with as well. Both of which involve ritualistic behavior, a ton of shame and secrecy. The difference is that we're going to be talking to each other in front of mixed audiences, hoping to break through that barrier of shame, bring a little humor to the subject and some greater understanding, and see if we can understand a little better why we do what we do and how one cycle can drive the other. Real excited about where this thing is going.
That is so cool, because I just picture a room full of guys who have a little more compassion for what the women are dealing with, and a room full of women that are going to have a little more compassion for what guys. I mean, that can really change the face of a university for those students that are there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're praying it does. We're still kind of making it up as we go along. Constance has been working very hard. She's a highly creative person, and she's developed graphics and films, and she's really kind of developed the public face of this thing. But still, I don't know how well her presentation is scripted, but I know that what we're doing together, we're still keeping loose. We haven't scripted it. We're hoping to have spontaneous, real genuine conversations and kind of model that. This is the kind of stuff that men and women typically don't talk about together. This is a grand experiment for us. It's a little bit frightening, but it also gives me kind of an adrenaline rush headed toward these colleges. We'll be in front of 1,500 to 2,000 kids at a time, and not quite knowing exactly how it's going to come out.
Yeah, yeah, that's good time right there.
Hey, I'm telling you.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to come back and talk with our special guest, and so we'll get to hear a little bit more about Sex and Skinny and what he is going to be doing with you there.
Why don't we play one of his songs while we're queuing him up? Does that sound good?
Secret guest song number one. Listen carefully, and we'll be right back.
Tonight I feel like I'm all alone in the empty. Tonight I feel like the air's too cold to breathe. The walls are high and they're closing in all around me. So come on down with all that power. Bring your angels and set me free. Hanging around in a strange dark town, don't know who I'm gonna meet. Is it the devil in red with a heart in his hands trying to sweep me off my feet? He's got his girls and he's got his boys and they're living on the street. They're begging for bread and they're begging for love, but he won't let them eat. Tonight I feel like I'm all sad, sad song that keeps running through my head. You've got a key to my broken dreams and the wars I just can't win. But you and your good seem so far away from this crazy place I live in. Tonight I feel like I'm all alone in the empty. Tonight I feel like the air's too cold.
Welcome back to the Pirate Monk Podcast. We are here. Did you guess our special guest name? It is Mr. Are you ready for it?
Oh, man.
Scott. Yeah, not Dente. No, he was here last time. Mr. Scott Phillips. Let's give him a...
All right.
That's right.
And people are still saying, who?
The inimitable Scott Phillips.
Come on, man. I was doing the Emperor's New Clothes thing. If they think everybody else knows, they're going to pretend they know. You just go with it, dude. Oh,
I liked him better when he was unknown.
So well, Scott, how are you doing, man? Scott? It is good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
It's nice to have you here since Dente was on last time, and you're here, and both of you, I met both of you with that original group of Samson guys when you came out to do the little conference here in California. Yeah. So you, in my way of thinking, are one of that original core group.
Well, I mean,
Back in the early days, I remember you coming in.
I came the week before the first Samson retreat.
Yeah.
The Monday before the first Samson retreat.
And you'd only been married a short time, just a kid, dang it.
Yeah.
And then what induced you to come to the first retreat?
I liked the meeting.
Yeah.
And I liked the guys there and didn't have anything else to do that weekend.
That's okay. So you showed up. I still remember we're doing introductions and you say your name is Scott and Dente says, no, you can't be Scott. I'm Scott.
Can't have two Scots.
That's right. So he names you Scooch.
Yeah, he gave me his junior high nickname.
Oh, was that his junior high?
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah. Which he spells differently than I do, but since he gave me the name, I felt I had the right to
change it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I put a T in mine. He does it without me.
So Samson is evidently about heaping your past shame on other people at their first meeting.
Yes.
That's good. I actually didn't know that. I'm learning things today.
And actually, at the conclusion of that initial trip, when we took the bunch of guys out to California, Scott and I hung around afterwards because he booked some gigs up and down the state, and we stayed for another week, and went from Santa Cruz to San Diego, I think.
Yeah, that was an awesome trip.
We had a great time.
That was our first experience on the road together, wasn't it?
It was. And aside from your snoring.
Wait, let me clear the record here publicly. Should I tell them about the pillow? And
yeah, go ahead, man.
Well, my snoring has progressed since then, but it's not.
Has
it's
it really?
Nothing compared to Nate's. And they put us in a room together on one of the in San Diego.
Yeah.
And so I wore earplugs, and it wasn't enough. And so then I put the pillow around my head, and that wasn't enough. So I took my belt, and I belted the pillow around my head and slept with it like that. And that still wasn't enough. I couldn't sleep. So I got up and went for a walk.
Yeah.
All night long. Yeah, I do remember, Nate, one of the first nights, because we had been talking on the phone for a long time before you came out, but that was the first time I actually met you face-to-face. And one night late, after we were done with everything, you're like, hey, is there a drugstore open anywhere? I got to get something for my sinuses because I'm driving my roommates crazy with my snoring.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're out searching for a drugstore that hook you up. So accusing Scott of being the snorer, I think we have set the record straight. There is plenty of evidence.
Well, he's not the worst I've heard. He's not the worst I've heard, but I am a light sleeper. In his defense, I'm a light sleeper. So you don't have to snore very loudly to keep me awake.
So Scott, for those of you who don't know, is a singer-songwriter, an amazing poet, has some of the most beautiful lyrics you will ever hear. It disgusts other songwriters at how gifted he is, but you know, those of you that are musicians out there know how it is to have jealousy that motivates you in the wrong direction. Scott's that kind of guy. He's that good.
And that's the driving force behind my writing, is to make other musicians mad.
I'm just thrilled that Scott, Scott, you've been staying home a lot lately. You got boys here, and it's tough to go on the road for extended periods of time. But when I needed somebody, I needed a guy to come with me. Obviously, I'm not going to go touring with Constance by myself. Yeah, I wouldn't put her under that kind of temptation.
Right. Really. Good man.
When I called Scott, he was gracious enough to rearrange his schedule and come with me for the week. I'm really grateful, man, that you're going to do this. And I know you're going to blow the room away, as you always do. I love putting you in front of college audiences.
I love being in front of colleges.
It's my
favorite audience.
Have you been to either of these schools before?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah, they're going to get their first dose of Scott Phillips. That'll be awesome. Hey, you've been writing some new stuff, haven't you?
I have. Yeah, I've been. Last year's been a pretty heavy year for me.
Uh-huh.
It's been a tough year and a lot of changes, and so this record's going to be heavy. In fact, the working title right now is called The Descent. And so the point, I think, behind it is not to depress people, but but to hopefully speak to depressed people and let them know they're not alone.
You got maybe a rough mix of one of the songs?
I do, and this will be the international world exclusive
debut of the rough mix.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
So tell us a little about this song before we play.
Well, you know, it's speaking of heavy, this is probably one of the heaviest songs on the record, but it's also one of my favorites. It's kind of a story I've been wanting to tell for a while, but have hesitated because it exposes my parents a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about them. You know, I don't have any malice toward my parents. I love my parents. They did their best with me and my three brothers. But it does expose them a little bit, and it tells it kind of from the perspective of me as a kid growing up. And what my experiences were and how they've impacted me. And so it's called Children Raising Children.
Let's listen to it.
I love you, I'm sorry you're hurting, but I can't sit outside this closet door another minute more. I want to, with everything in me, but it's not a child's job to play that role. Ooh, stop your crying, I'm gonna go outside and play a little while. If you together, well, there's a little boy confused who could use his mother's smile. I see you, I know that you're tired, but I would rather live in poverty than to miss the time with you. I'm grateful for all you're providing, but a house is not important when the home is burning down. Ooh, pay attention, I've never done this before, and I could use a father's help. And ooh, take a moment, 'cause there's a little boy outside playing catch with himself. And you are children raising children.
No one ever said it raising children.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, what a song. Children raising children. You know, I got to tell you, I'm a grandfather now, and I love my grandkids more than I ever thought it was possible to love a baby. Feels sometimes like I love them more than I loved my own kids when they were little. But here's the thought I have. It isn't that I love them more, it's that I love them better now. Mm. When I look back at those years when I was bringing up kids in the middle of active addiction, emotionally absent most of the time, chasing something I didn't know what I was chasing, just trying to find a place in life, doing this dance with Allie that neither of us understood, it breaks my heart when I consider how many opportunities missed, how many questions left unanswered, how many things that could have been, should have been done for my children that weren't because I wasn't there. And I know that my parents were in the same boat when they were raising kids at the same age I was raising kids. Mm. You still got kids at home, Aaron, and Mondo, so do you. How'd that hit you?
Aaron, you respond first, please.
I was just going to say, Mondo, you go first.
That's a tip. That's a Scott Phillips song. That's a punch in the gut, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, I'll go. It killed me.
Yeah.
It made me think about my own life, which you're aware of.
Yeah.
It made me almost forecast hypotheticals.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe the not so good hypotheticals, how can I avoid that?
Yeah.
How can I avoid being that dude?
You know?
Trying to learn by looking ahead, mm-hmm. if you will, if that mm-hmm. even makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, like the picture that was painted was, okay, I have an option. Mm-hmm. Which path am I going to choose to go down? Mm-hmm. And it really made it clear and vivid, defined. It wasn't, you know, before I heard the song, you know, it's a thought I had. Mm-hmm. It's something that I may have conversation with others about. But I mean, this song, we played it for a reason. And it was beyond the podcast. I believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, it really resonated with me on just reevaluating who I am to my children.
Yeah.
And what I want to be to them. Mm. And maybe rethinking some things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
How about you, Aaron?
Yeah, for me, one of the greatest gifts of being a pastor is getting to be with people when they're dying, because there's nothing like sitting with an older man or woman who knows they're about to pass away and talking about life and the stuff that's important to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's such a cliche to most people. That, you know, yeah, when you're on your deathbed, you realize what's really important. But until you've actually sat there and done that with people, mm-hmm. It's just amazing when you know, I was married when I was 19. We had Samuel 3 years later. So I look at other 23-year-olds and how incredibly young I was. And I think what struck me is I of all people know better than to waste energy on stuff that I know when I die is not going to matter. Mm-hmm. And yet when you're young, it feels so damned important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's worth it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the line about the boy outside playing catch with himself.
Yeah, man.
Well, the one that got me, the house is not important when the home is burning down. Oh, man.
Yeah. And I just think of all the times that, you know, with the first kid, when he wanted to play with his Legos or G.I. Joe guys or whatever, and that feeling of coming home and being tired because I've been pursuing all the stuff that I know is not going to matter, and it feels like such a burden to have to sit down and pretend I'm enjoying playing with G.I. Joe guys. Mm-hmm. And then you look back at that, and you're like, oh, man, I wish I didn't let him play alone as much as I did, because it means something.
Yeah.
So I just think of all those seniors who gave so much insight to life that is hard as a young man to believe, even though you believe it.
Yeah. And, you know, in preparing for this Sex and Skinny tour, one of the challenges that Constance has given me is to understand in a way clearly enough that I can present it to other people the cycle of my sexually obsessive behavior. I've had to think an awful lot about when that cycle started. I've had to face the fact that it really got rolling in childhood, even before puberty. You know, for me, you know, my own story, the loss of a mother early, and then a father and a stepmother who were there and were present, but with whom I did not feel a deep emotional connection. I didn't feel deeply cared for. So this kind of loneliness that began at home and then kind of pervaded my school life, where I didn't really know how to connect with peers, and then felt awkward around the opposite sex. You know, I think that, you know, we tend to think of addiction as a grown-up problem, because the addicts we know are grown-ups, and maybe the behavior didn't kick in until teen years or even later. But the roots of addiction go deeper. They go into childhood. And I know that for me, there is deep pain that is still in the process of being healed. Pain great enough that I would go to almost any length to medicate it. It was that pain that set me up for a destructive addiction. And then, you know, the heartbreaking thing is to know that, you know, hurt people hurt people. And in a lot of the ways that I was wounded, I wound up wounding my own kids.
I think it's so important for us as Christians. Psychology, psychiatry, it's got a lot of bad press as being kind of a bad substitution for what our faith is supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. And so we've thrown out anything that's connected to it without considering, well, wait a minute, those are just, even at their secular worst, they're still trying to touch on things that are real because God made them so. Mm-hmm. So if we throw all that out, the second somebody starts talking about childhood wounds, it's like, oh, that's just, you know, pop psychology. That's just secular. We just need to deal with it at a faith level. It's like, well, wait a minute. The reason that psychology has any effectiveness is because it's rooted in a truth that God put in place.
Yeah, right.
And absolutely. We as Christians need to be aware of that. And I think there was a counselor that I just loved, and she, I heard her deal with a couple different people on this, that she said, look, here you are, one of them was an adult woman, and she said, here you are as an adult woman, you were seriously hurt by your parents when you were about 7 or 8, and ever since then, you've been trying to get what that 7 or 8 year old needs. You've been trying to meet a need of a 7 or 8 year old, not of a 30-year-old woman. And you got to deal with the fact that you aren't a kid. It's almost like she talks about this arrested development when you got hurt, and then everything else is trying to heal that or trying to get that need. But it's never going to happen in the way that the 7 or 8 year old needed it, because you're just not that age anymore.
Wow.
And so coming as an adult, realizing, grieving, dealing with the forgiveness that needs to happen, and moving on is a huge process to actually being an adult. And man, I see how that plays out in so many ways for so many people, that what they're expecting of people is so immature and so unrealistic, but they just don't realize that, like Scott's song, there's so much that's left there unresolved.
Yeah. Scott, you're how old are you, by the way?
32.
Man.
A young man. Henry V died of dysentery at that age.
Random comment number one.
Sure. Go on. Responded
to that. Yeah, but dang it, he'd been married 8 times. What does that have to do with anything?
That's Henry VIII, dude.
Oh, what did you
Henry
say?
Henry V, he was only married once to the Princess of France. That was part of him getting it. Anyway, go on. You don't
know
Henry
V. Where he got the dysentery. Wait, is that...
That's right.
Oh, no, that was during the campaign to get France, but it was France that did it to him. But anyways, good. Here we go, 32. I just wanted to encourage you.
Okay. No, now, you're 32. It's obvious from this song and from the way you describe the rest of the work in the album that you're doing deep work around your own childhood, your own history.
Yeah.
And yet you're a dad.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Well, you know, I am a dad of three boys. I've got a 4-year-old boy, Liam, a 2-year-old Ryder, and a 1-year-old Judah. And ever since I was, pre-teens, all I wanted was to have my own kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love these boys more than anything else in the world. And so that's, you know, that's kind of what the driving, a large part of the driving force for me to do this work,
mm-hmm.
is because I want my kids to have a dad who's present and
yeah.
who's healthy and sober. And
mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I just it's tough though, because like you said, it's kind of that song is kind of almost a retelling of The Cat's in the Cradle,
right?
Because you know, as you hear toward the end of the song, it says, "Now we are children raising children,"
yeah.
And so in a lot of ways, you know, even though, you know, I am determined to not make the mistakes my dad did, I'm making my own mistakes.
Yeah.
And I've seen where my kids, you know, I've seen things that have happened, and I've done things, made mistakes where my kids are going to be affected by them for the rest of their lives. And that hurts.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, I think I'm doing my best, and I get some peace from that, knowing that I'm doing my best to figure out how to stay present in their lives.
And what I love is that you're not doing it alone.
Yeah.
You're in relationship with other men.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be able one day to introduce your sons into a circle of men.
Oh, man. I've already done some work on you know, I mean, I've done some brainstorming and written letters, and I'm already preparing for my son's initiation into the circle of men. Because I know, you know, based on my experience with men in this fraternity,
yeah.
that we're in and that we've created here in Franklin, and around the country and the world, actually, I've seen the impact it's made in my life, and I'm just convinced you can't be a good father. I can't be a good father alone.
Right.
So.
And the difference with that community that gets built as true Christians, I mean, it's the thing that a 12-step program has that the church does not have very often, which is everybody gathers admitting that they're screwed up, they have a problem, they're sinners. Everybody knows that. And yet they're holding each other more accountable for sin than the church usually does.
Right.
So the church is usually in denial that there's an active sin problem. It's trying to put the face on that it's not. And then it has a lot of trouble dealing with sin, so it's just judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a place that you're talking about, when Christians really get this, I mean, I know the people that are holding your feet to the fire, and they're people that aren't simply looking back and dealing with past behavior
mm-hmm.
in a punitive way, but they're looking forward to who you actually are. And
yeah.
the whole bottom line is they're holding you to be the man of God that he made you to be.
Yeah.
And that's looking forward, and that's a beautiful way to take issues seriously and to grow into that person.
Yeah, you know, when you say about holding your feet to the fire, I mean it is that, and then it's more, like you said, there's so much about calling someone out into who you see them to be, you know, and mm-hmm. And that's been the most powerful thing for me, is the affirmation. The affirmation that I lacked as a kid, you know, not because I had horrible parents, but just because I just didn't get it. And
right.
I'm getting it now, and there's that whole kind of refathering process that happens in brotherhood and in the initiation process and all that, you know, and it's a powerful thing, the affirmation.
And that is the best, I mean, for anyone that's listening that doesn't know how to deal with a brother who's struggling, that's the best way to hold your feet to the fire, to deal with something in your life and say, Scott, what's going on? This isn't who you are.
Yeah.
This is who I see. I love this person. What's this about?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. And it's always moving us towards the fullness of Christ in us that makes us a whole different creature than we are in our brokenness.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I kind of have the feeling that this conversation is winding toward a close. By the way, who's working with you on that recording project?
Well, Scott Dente, actually, and Ken Lewis are two guys who have a company called Global Genius,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing it. They're doing it for in trade for art.
speaking of which, because I'm sitting here in my studio with a piece of your art on my wall. Well, it's on the desk right now since we were arguing about interpretation of your art earlier. But
you're hanging it upside down.
It's my art now. I can hang it how I want. Right. Anyways, I love your art. Because I love birds, and Scott loves birds. But there's non-bird art as well, and he also has done some work with one of my favorite people in the world, the Limey, Dale Fenton.
Yeah.
So Scooch and Limey. So how can people check some of this out? Because your stuff's great.
And I did some collaborative work together. We don't have a website or any kind of online presence. For local people, we do have some stuff in the Henpeck Market in the loft.
Down at the Henpeck.
Yeah, but...
So what if we got to see some of your woodworking?
Well, for my stuff, I do have some aging pictures online at scottphillipsart.com.
ScottPhillipsArt.com, and there's a hyphen in there, right?
No. That's not on my music website. There's a hyphen, scott-phillips.com. Okay.
But so that's the feminist site. This one's different. This is just Scott
hyphen.
Phillips Art.
anyway, scottphillipsart.com is where you can
look. That amazing stuff, really. You're an acclaimed visual artist as well as a musical artist.
Thanks.
Very gifted. Yeah. I've got a Scott Phillips for which I paid a handsome price.
No discounts for friends.
That's right. And I consider it an investment. And it gets lots of comments there on the dining room wall in the Larkin Mansion.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Scott Dente and Ken Lewis are fighting over one particularly large piece that I did.
Right.
And, it's a. I made a grandfather clock. I took an old Nickelodeon style piano.
Oh, the one out of the piano.
Yeah, chopped it up and turned it into a grandfather clock. And
Yeah.
So that's in Ken's house right now.
Is it really?
They may have custody battles over it. I'm not sure.
Well, Scott, it has been great having you here as a guest on the Pirate Monk podcast. Been wanting this for a while.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
And you and I have got a bolt because I think we got to be on the road in less than an hour. Mm-hmm. I've still got to pack and pick up some laundry. Are you packed?
I am.
All right, we're caravanning up there, you know, with the girls.
Yeah,
they're not going to be in the same vehicle with us, but I think they want to keep us in sight.
Good. Okay.
So
I get shotgun.
You're driving, pal. it's been good reconnecting.
Absolutely.
Glad we were able to put together another episode. Thanks for getting up early, Aaron, and bringing your full weight to the podcast. Let's close it out with a song from the Next Stop Willoughby album. Didn't Mitch Dane produce that?
Yes, sir.
I'd love to hear Nursery Rhyme.
Okay.
Well, here it is. Until next week on the Pirate Monk podcast, this is Nate, Aaron, Mondo, special guest Scott. Wishing you all the best. Here it is, Nursery Rhyme by Scott Phillips.
There is a man in me who is already free, but I'm just waiting for him and I to meet. He's who I'm meant to be, but I'm still waiting.
And somewhere underneath, beyond what I can see, a heart is beating. A heart as pure and clean as newborn baby's dreams, I feel it leading. And all because Mary had a little lamb, his fleece was stained with blood, and everyone who killed a man was the target of his love. Whoa. It's enough to know that I'm a son in the battles yet to overcome. It's grace transcending, because the war is already won. You know the bleeding and the dying's done. Oh brother, what a happy ending. And all because Mary had a little lamb, his fleece was stained with blood, and everyone who killed the man was the target of his love. My history, every crime that is yet to be, it disappeared when I first believed. Whoa. So when the sun shines down on me, when the dark overshadows me, everywhere that I've yet to be, a lamb is sure to go. The lamb is sure to go. Mary had a little lamb, was wide enough to save the soul of every man, and to come to us, to capture us, to cover us with love. Mary had a little lamb, his fleece was stained with blood. Oh, and even those who killed the man target of his love.